You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The Environmental Protection Agency is reportedly planning to change the way it reports the health risks of air pollution, a move that would result in fewer reported deaths each year. The New York Times says the Trump administration would likely use the lower figures to justify rollbacks of air pollution rules. The new modeling method would be part of what's known as the Affordable Clean Energy Rule, a replacement of the Obama-era's Clean Power Plan, and is expected to be made public next month. Tracy Holloway is a professor in the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies and the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. She focuses on air quality, energy, climate, and public health. Tracy, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much, Rob. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Well, these reported changes center on a particular kind of pollution, particulate pollution. Can you talk about the importance of that kind of pollution and health and mortality?
Yeah, when we're talking about particulate pollution, it's really anything in the air that isn't a gas. So it can be suspended liquid or solid particles. It could be smoke from a barbecue. It could be wind-blown dust. Or it could be chemicals that are cooked up in the air from chemical reactions. And actually, it's these cooked-up particles that are most closely associated with power plants, because power plants emit sulfur dioxide, which is a gas, but that cooks up into a certain kind of particulate matter. And they also release nitrogen oxide, which is a gas, but cooks up into another kind. So power plants are a big contributor to these particles, even though we don't see the big billowing plumes of smoke like you might see coming off of a barbecue.
Now, this all centers around an Obama-era climate change action. But the side benefit they made the case was, hey, by reducing these power plant emissions, like coal power plants in particular, we're going to save X number of lives. And it sounds like now the EPA is looking at recalculating it, saying, now, hold on, you're overestimating the impact. How do you start to break that down?
Yeah, I think we're really talking about two different issues. First of all, when it comes to air pollution, the air in the United States has been getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. And that's really because we have effective rules under the Clean Air Act. So that's a good news story. And the way we've been achieving these reductions is by having a pretty clear approach to policy. For six common pollutants, one of which is particulate matter, there's a bright line approach where we have a threshold of what's considered good and what's considered bad. And having this kind of passing and failing approach has been extremely effective in encouraging new technologies and new regulatory strategies to make our air cleaner. But of course, we all know that there's not one magic level where air pollution switches from being good to bad. Our lungs don't have an on-off switch. And in fact, what the health research shows is that as air pollution levels go up, we have more strokes, more respiratory disease, and importantly, more premature deaths. So there's this idea that cleaner air has fewer deaths, fewer premature deaths, especially, and that dirtier air, people die more often. And so that is something that's really a robust finding from the health research. And what the New York Times reported was that they're thinking about saying, well, if you're under the threshold, then we shouldn't count those additional improvements, which is sort of like saying if you're passing a class, we shouldn't worry about whether it's a D or a B or an A, you're passing or failing. But I think we all know that even if you're passing something, there may still be benefits from doing better.
So even if my community has a passing grade, we just sort of limboed under the particulate matter threshold, we could still be healthier by lowering it even further beyond that passing grade.
Absolutely. And that's what the health research shows over and over. And, you know, actually, the American Lung Association tackles this question head on because every year they come out with what they call the State of the Air Report. And anyone can Google State of the Air and see in their county what the grade is for their air. And they give a grade for two pollutants. One is particulate matter that we're talking about here. The other is for ground level ozone or smog. And they make the point that even counties that are passing may be getting a D or a C, or they may be getting an A. I mean, there are many places, especially here in Wisconsin, that has really clean air. So we're not saying that the air is bad everywhere, but more to the point that if our air is getting cleaner and people are getting healthier, that it makes sense to know that as part of the policy process.
Talking to Tracy Holloway from the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison, looking at a change along the way from the EPA and the Trump administration. that would change the way we calculate the impact of particulates in our air on human health and human mortality. Tracy, somebody might look at this and say, okay, so this is sort of a bureaucratic reworking of things, no big deal. Is this a big deal?
It really is a big deal because when it comes to these air pollution rules, we spend a lot of money to get our air clean. In fact, for the amount of energy we use and the cars we drive, the United States has some of the cleanest air in the world. But still, nearly half of the U.S. population lives in areas that are above the clean air standard. And we know that there are measurable impacts on public health, from childhood asthma attacks to premature death to actually even if you get an organ transplant, how likely are you to be able to have a successful transplant experience? And all of these are related to air pollution exposure. So anything we can do that's moving toward cleaner and cleaner air is a win for public health. And there are always trade-offs, and it's good to be aware of those trade-offs. But I think too often when we're thinking about our energy decisions, we're not accounting for those air and health benefits. And what this is saying is that we shouldn't be allowed to account for the air and health benefits. At least that's the way it's reported in the New York Times. So I think that there's this question about, you know, if we don't count the benefits of something, it's really hard to know whether it's worth it to invest in energy efficiency or renewable energy or any of the emerging technologies that could make our air cleaner and our communities healthier.
You've mentioned that in general, air has gotten cleaner in the United States. How is this dispersed? Are there areas that are hit harder by particulate matter pollution than others?
Yeah, typically urban areas are have higher air pollution levels. My sister lives in Los Angeles, and every time I go to visit her, you can see the haze hanging over the city. But you can also have high particulate levels when you have a forest fire, when you have wind-blown dust. So sometimes, you know, the Southwest has a lot of particulate matter from natural sources. And across the eastern United States, a larger fraction of the particulates are coming from power plants. So a lot of the story associated with the change from the Clean Power Plan to the proposed Affordable Clean Energy Rule deals with coal-fired power plants, and that would be an especially big issue for the Midwest and all across the East Coast, where changing away from coal would be expected to make the air cleaner and have health benefits.
Would a change like this in our last minute or so slow down that switch away from coal to cleaner sources?
It's likely, yes. I think, you know, everybody wants to live in a healthy community. And when we think about what are the choices that we're making and where are we getting our energy from, if we're not even allowed to take account of the health benefits, then it's hard to know why we might be wanting to switch to cleaner sources.
And briefly, what are you watching for as this actually gets made public and may become a political rule?
Well, I think the fact that we're talking about it is a really good step in the right direction, because I'm a scientist and my goal is to get good science into the decision-making process. And when I read this article from the New York Times, what I read is that they're trying to put a lid on the science. And, you know, I think there's valid disagreements about what to do, but whether we should hide the numbers and ignore the science, that doesn't seem quite right.
Tracy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. It was a real pleasure.
That's Tracy Holloway, professor in the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies and the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. We talked through about the Trump administration's plan that would change the way that health risks of air pollution are calculated. The New York Times says the EPA could likely use those lower figures to defend additional rollbacks of air pollution rules. The plan is expected to be made public sometime next month and go into the rulemaking process.